Once again, good morning, church. Yeah, everybody knows my name. That's amazing. Okay, so as you all know, last year I was an intern. So the interns got invited to go to Somerset West. So when we got to Somerset West, Pastor Heinrich Titus said to me, okay, Moja, you're going to be speaking at our urban church, which is Shofar Nonzamo. And I was like, okay, I'm excited. Let's do this. So the Sunday morning, we get to the church. It's myself and a couple of interns. And when we get there, they're like, okay, bro, you're going to speak now. I'm like, yes, no problem. I'm amped. I'm excited. And they're like, okay, how do we introduce you? And I'm like, Moja. They're like, what? I'm like, Moja. But they're like, what is your title? And I'm like, Moja. They're like, no, like, but how do we announce you? How do we, like, announce you to the church? And I look at him, like, Moja. And I think he gave up on me, and he goes to the front, and he says this, okay, church, he's getting everybody excited. It's like, church, this morning, we've got Moja, the pastor of the interns. I look at Richard, and I look at Z, I'm like, guys, did we bring Pastor Moja with? So this morning I am Moja, but if you cannot say Moja, you can call me Herman. That's my other name. I know I don't look like a Herman, but it's okay. You can call me Herman this morning. Amen. It's good to love, church. It's good to love. So Pastor Tians asked me, it's like, champ, the 3rd of July, I want you to minister. And I'm like, you speaking to me, my pastor? It's like, yeah, I know, I want you to minister. And he's standing there. It's like, I know you've got this, man. You know what? God is with you. And I'm like, Big T, yeah, bro. What did you do? But it's like, no, Moja, listen, this is why you're here, man. And I'm like, okay, God, help me. So this morning, I'm excited to be here, actually. I'm excited to minister. Are you excited? Yes, amen. So every time when I speak, either in Hundal or wherever, I'm always taken back about, like, you know what, when I first met the Lord. I'm always taken back. And this morning, I just got a couple of questions to ask us. Who is still excited about God? Who is still excited about God? Who is still on fire for God? Amen. Okay. Who is still riding wholeheartedly after God? Amen, brothers and sisters. Now, my other question is, who's still excited about being part of the kingdom of God? The kingdom that's ever moving, the kingdom that's never stopping for anything else. Church, I'm excited this morning because I know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So, as I said, every time when I speak, I'm always taken back to Psalm 51, verse 12. And this is David speaking, and he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore the joy of your salvation. I mean, like, the night I got saved, it started off simple. Eh? It started off simple. We were at church, at a youth meeting. And what's happening right there in that moment, I'm like, I never used to look like this. I used to be thin, actually. Now I look like the Oros man, but it's okay. So, the night I got saved, I'm just standing there, looking at everybody, and everybody's like in tears, and they're crying, and I'm like, we got a bunch of weirdos in this church, I'm like, guys, what's happening, and I'm just standing there, looking all buff, looking at the people, and then there was a song that started playing, Awesome God, Our God is an Awesome God, and I'm standing there, I'm like, yeah, man. Something's starting to happen in my heart. And I'm like, okay, ni noni. And so in that moment, Awesome God keeps on playing. And I'm like, okay. I can feel it now. Something is happening in my heart. And I'm like, okay. I look at the people and I see their hands are up. Everybody's like in deep worship. And I'm like, okay, let's try this. So I was standing like this. Then I move forward a bit. And I stand like this. Our God is an awesome God he reigns. Then the hand goes up. I'm like, yeah, my bro, keep it there. So we worshiping. And all of a sudden the hand goes up. I'm like, right there. You stay right there. You don't move anywhere. So the hand is right there. And I'm like, okay, our God is an awesome God. And now all of a sudden it's like my eyes are open. And I'm like, okay, let me do this. My eyes are closed. And I start singing. And then like both hands go up. And all of a sudden I'm on my knees. And then I start crying. And you know what? It's like I wanted to do one of those moments in that movie. I don't know who's watched that movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And this is what the guy does. It's like, it's a scene in the movie. He goes like, you know what? He looks at this beautiful view and it's like, it's enough to make a grown man cry. But not this man. And he pulls his tear back. He's like, get back in there, tear. And the tear goes back in. And honestly, I just wanted to do one of those, like, you know, get back in there. But it's like, it's not entrana. And I'm like, okay, this is not working. This is not working. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if you maybe know, yeah, obviously you know Pastor Anton. He stands up there and it's like, okay, the Lord is starting to work and he's knocking on your heart. And if you feel a knock in your heart right now, I want you to come to the front. The Lord is speaking to you. You need to give your heart to the Lord. I'm like, okay. I stood up there. I gave my life to the Lord. That was 26th of May, 2006. It was the most glorious day of my life when I gave my life to the Lord. And every time when I preach, I need to go back to that place because I need to remind myself of what I was saved from. What God actually did in my life. And it excites me to know that, you know what, the same God that was with me back then is the same God that is with me right now. And I can still keep on running. Running after this kingdom, being excited about God and what God still needs to do next in my life. Church, are you excited about what God is doing in your life? Are you excited about what God is actually calling you into doing? Because I believe that most of the time, you know what, we know what God has called us for, but we never actually get to the place where we start doing what God wants us to do. It's like we read the scripture in Philippians 3, verse 14. You know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Anytime I can do it, but are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it? When you get to that place where you don't actually ask, you ask yourself a question. Like, yes, God says I can do this, but am I willing myself to actually do this? Do I want to do this? Where are we standing, church? Are we still excited? Are we still excited? As we look at Joshua 14, verse 11, this is Caleb speaking. And he's like, you know what? Guys, when Moses sent me, I think 40-something, 42 or something. He's like, when Moses sent me to go check out the land, I was strong. And now I am 84. And I am as strong as I was back then. He wasn't standing there. It's like, you know what? Retirement plan. This is what I need to do next. No, he was thinking like, you know what? Okay, listen. Are the guys still scared? I've got this, boy. Let's go do this. He wasn't thinking like, you know what? No, man, my back is sore. No, he was just thinking like, I still got this. Because he's thinking like, you know what? I am still strong. I can still run. And I'm going to continue running. No matter what comes. Because the same God that was with me when Moses sent me is the same God that is with me right now. I started this race, and I'm going to finish it strong. As the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I've run my race. I finished. And you know what? Paul wasn't one of those guys that finished his race weak. But he was strong when he finished his race. Amen, church. You know, I believe that this is one of the messages where we really need to pause and think about what God is actually saying. Where we really need to reevaluate our lives. I believe that, you know, we fall into the trap of, I've heard this, I've been there, I've done that, I got a t-shirt for it. And what I usually say to the youth, like a conversation with the youth is, you know what, I'm not telling you something new, I'm just reminding you of what you know. Because the youth would say to you, like, you know, I know this, I've been there, dude, I've done this. But you're like, bro, I'm just reminding you once again. I'm reminding you of the things that you need to do. As James 1 verse 22 to 25 says, but be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Last night, I need to say this, I went to watch Finding Dory, and we had a discussion, David and Moja, David Squared. So we sitting at Pastor Tiansa's house, and we're like, okay, guys, we want to go watch a movie. What can we go watch? And it wasn't my idea, church. But David says, I'm not going to mention which David, but I'll just point my finger. And he says this, I'm Finding Dory's play. And I look at both Davids, I'm like, guys, this is not going to work out that legit. You've got a beard and you want to go watch a cute movie like that. So we're sitting there and I'm like, oh my word. And then I get a phone call from my fiance. She's like, what are you up to tonight? I'm like, we're going to go watch Finding Dory. My word. She started laughing over the phone. And I'm like, okay. But the reason why I'm bringing in Finding Dory this morning is because Dory is this kind of person. She speaks to you. Hey, my name is Dory. Na, 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 na. It's like, hey, have we met? Hi, my name is Dory. She has a short-term memory loss. So Dory keeps forgetting who she is or if she's met you before. And this is what the scripture is speaking about. Like, you know what? If you're just hearing the word and not doing a word, you are a Dory in a sense. You understand that? You are a Dory in a sense because it's like you're looking at yourself. You're like, yes, I look good today. Then after that, you walk away and you're like, what do I look like again? Then you go back to the mirror. And the word is like, listen, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. A doer is somebody that, you know, that immerses himself into what God has called him to do. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to be laid back. I'm going to do what the word of the Lord is saying. I'm going to do that. Revelation 2, verse 29 says this, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you? And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, are you actually doing it? Are you actually doing it? Church, as I said at the beginning, I'm really excited about this season. As we know, that our theme for June, July is outflow, going out there. And with that being said, there's a picture that I just want to show us. This was my first mission trip with Pastor Anton. We went to Zambia. I don't know if you can. I don't know who's who there. So, that's me. So that guy right there, David looked at this picture and he's like, Moja, you look gangster there. And I'm like, sure. Okay, so, wow, man, I used to be skinny. What happened? But it's okay. So this was my first mission trip with Pastor Anton. But this is the mission trip where my heart was awakened. Where my heart, like, you know, my heart started beating for the lost. And I was like, okay, on this mission trip, I remember Pastor Anton coming to me. He's like, okay, Moja, tonight, you're going to be sharing your testimony. And you get one of those moments, but you're like, why not him? Why not him? Why me? And then, like, during the day, I'm like thinking, man, I have to share my testimony. I need to share my testimony. And I'm like, so how many people are we expecting? It's like, no, 400 to 500 people. How about two? Okay? So we get up there. The band starts singing. Everything is amazing. Then it's like, okay, I just want to call one of my youth to come to share their testimony. Church, I get up on the trailer. We had a trailer as a stage. I get up there. and I see all these faces. And I'm like, okay. And I start sharing my story. And as I'm sharing my story, something begins to happen in my heart. It's like, wow. Okay, and I'm sharing my story, and like I'm getting passionate about this now. And all of a sudden, right there, in that moment, like God gave me a heart for the lost. And it was like the most amazing thing ever. And when we came, like after that mission trip, you can skip to the other picture. That was the whole team, by the way. The team that went with First Anton. It was just youth, young people, nobody else. After this mission trip, you see all these people here. All of us, we were so hungry for God. We had such a hunger for God that when we got to Porch, we had a youth of about 90 kids on a Friday. Within 6 months, we were running 400 to 500 kids every Friday evening. Just because we, thank you, just because we could not stop speaking about the goodness of God. And because of that, more people were added into the kingdom, and it was like, yes, it's amazing. We started in a room like this. We used to have youth in the side hall. Then we moved into the bigger church. And it was just amazing to see young people coming to repentance and saying, you know what? Yes, you guys, listen, this Jesus that you're speaking about, we actually want that Jesus, because there's more to life than what we've been doing, and Jesus is the answer. And these guys, like Quinn right there, the guy that on my right, that guy, he lost his parents. Okay, he lost his parents. He lost his mom, his dad, when he was in grade 7. He lost his father when he was in grade 9. And you know what? The enemy thought like, okay, I've got him now. I'm going to silence this kid now. My word. But the thing is, like, this guy kept on running and running and running and running. And right now, as we speak, he's actually ministering in one of the shofar churches in George, leading a mission team. Amen. It's just because of, you know what, people wanting to invest in young people. Like this mission trip, Pastor Anton was like, okay, you guys run. You guys do this. And we were like, okay, we will do this. You know, we will make a couple of mistakes, but you know what? We'll keep on running. After this mission trip, there was a song, DC Talk. The name of the song is Jesus Freak. And this is the song we used to say, what will people think if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find out it's so? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. They ain't no disguise in the truth. And it's like, you know, we're singing this song with a passion. And we're like, yeah, we got this, man. Jesus on our side. And we're just running and running and running because it's like a love for God and a hunger for God has been awakened. And church, you know what? It's like... I nearly lost my breath. Let me have a sip. So we were singing the song, Jesus Free, and everybody knew us. And when we got to school, it wasn't like, you know, we had to hide now who we really are. I mean, like, I remember in high school, like, when, like, my school friends would see me, I would be coming this way, then they would walk this other way, like, aye. Because they knew the conversation is going to start like, hey, bro, listen, can we have that chat once again, you and I, about Jesus? So everybody, it was like, ah, here come the pastor Alvia. But you know what? I actually liked that. I actually loved that. Because people knew that I was standing for something. In my grade 11 year, I had to minister in front of the whole school. And I was like, okay. Boom. God gave me the boldness. And the first message I preached in front of the whole school, I spoke from Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And after that, I said to the guys, and listen, at break time, bring your lunches. Bring your lunch. We're going to be in my class and we're going to be discussing some stuff. I started a small group at school. The name of the group was PP, Passionate Prayer Group. No, that was Quinn's group. Quinn's group was passionate prayer group, and mine was passionate for Christ. I was PFC, passionate for Christ. And that group grew and grew and grew. And the thing is, right there in those moments, it was like, you know what? Listen, guys, there is something else. You need to tap into Jesus. You need to tap into Jesus. Church, if we are excited about the kingdom of God, if we are excited about the love that God has given us, I believe that we would just share it. I believe that we would just share it. My second mission trip was the funniest, actually, for me. So we are still on fire, still running after the kingdom of God. So what we do now is that we've got a banner. And written in front of the banner is Yesu Amamasula. Yes, I understand. Meaning, Jesus saves. And so you've got Quinn on the left and you've got Moja on the right. And we're running with this banner in Zambia. Saying, Yesu Amamasula. And it's like, you know that movie, Braveheart? It's like, yeah, let's do this. And we're going crazy, like, Yesu Amamasula. And all of a sudden, there's a crowd that's following us also. And Pastor Anton is driving the quantum, and there's such an excitement. Like, we're proclaiming, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And in that mission trip, every night, we had around about 1,000 to 3,000 people coming to the crusade every evening. And in that mission trip, my eyes were open, actually, to the spiritual realm also. So the first night of the second night of the mission trip, this is what happens. There was a manifestation, and I'm like, whoa, so these things are real. And we get there, and I'm like, okay. So now the team is praying, and we're praying. Everybody's like, and nothing is happening. And we keep on praying, and we keep on praying, we keep on praying. And all of a sudden, boom, the guy gets delivered. And we're so excited, like, yes, the scripture comes to mind. You know what? Like, God has given us authority to trample on snakes and all scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. And in that moment, we're like, yes, now this is actually, we're living reality right now. So the second evening, what do I do? I go into the tent. We had like a tent where we prayed for people. We get into the tent. And as we are in the tent, I see someone, like a little girl, manifesting that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go pray for her. And I keep on praying, and I keep on praying, and I keep on praying. But just to mention, you know what? I went out in my own boldness. I went there out in my own boldness. And I'm praying for this little girl. And you know what happens? She just grabs me. Just like this, by the hand. She throws me. I land right there at the entrance of the door. I'm like, okay. Then I left. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this again. Then I come back into the tent and I see another lady. And I'm like, okay, I have to go now. Like, listen, I'm excited. I think I can now pray for this person. I get there. I start praying for this lady. Everything is going well. Everything is going well. And all of a sudden, she just looks at me. Dead in the eye. And I'm like, okay. Now it's like a staring competition between me and her. And she gets closer to me. And I'm like, okay. Step back. And I'm like, no. And she starts moving and moving closer to me. And I'm like, oh my word, what is happening now? And she goes like, she points at her eyes and she looks at me. And I got a massive headache and I ran out of the tent. But then I went to Pastor Anton. I'm like, listen, bro, what's happening? What's happening? And in that time, like, the whole mission team was struggling. Like, nothing wanted to happen. Like, as we prayed, nothing is happening. Then before we went out the following day, I remember Pastor Anton read the scripture. It's in Joel 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and luminous, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong. Yes, I'm still there. A people come great and strong. They are like whom we've never seen, nor there will be any after this people. So Pastor Anton is reading this scripture, and it's like, you know what? He's encouraging us. It's like, guys, this is the army of the Lord. In Joel, the heading is like the day of the Lord, the army of the Lord. And he's encouraging us with this. It's like, listen, I know yesterday didn't go well, but you know what? We're not going to be of those that fall away because of circumstances fixed, not going our way. And we're like, okay. And he's ministering the scripture to us and stuff. And we're like, okay, Father, you know what? Where we are boastful going out in our own strength. Father, we just repent of that. We just repent of that. Father, we thank you, God, that it is your strength. It is not by might, nor by power, but it's only by your spirit, Jesus. And we went out there that day. I promise you, God was so with us. We ministered to people. We saw lives being delivered. And after that mission trip, it's like going back home. It's like you have this fire in you. You've got so much fire in you. And you just want to minister to the people. Church, from time to time, we go out ministering to Hundal. I want to invite you to come with us. If you feel like, you know what, you are not that fired anymore, you're not that fire, like your fire is actually going down, I want to invite you to come with us when we go to Hundal and minister. It will change your life. It will change your life. As you saw, the title of this message is actually, Here I Am, Send Me. Here I Am, Send Me. So as we read in Isaiah 6 verse 8, and this is what he says, I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, here I am, send me. I'm willing. I will go for us. I will go. Isaiah didn't look around like, you know, who else can go? I don't want to look at David. I don't want to say David must go, but God, I'm willing myself. I want to go. Because I know if you send me, you will be with me. And church, I believe that we need to come to the place where we don't look at what we don't have, but whom we have. Whom we have. And believing, like, you know what, as we go out, God will be with us. God will be with us. Unless we go in our own strength. But God will certainly be with us. And I want to challenge us as a church today. Reach out to somebody. And in closing, I want to mention this scripture in Numbers 14. This is Moses and Aaron. I'm just going to share the story quickly. I'm not going to read all of it. What happens in the story is the Lord is angry with the people. And he sends out the plague. And now everybody's beginning to die. And then Moses says to Aaron, Aaron, listen, I need you to run up ahead. I need you to get incense, and I need you to actually throw some water into what is happening. And Aaron says, Moses, I will do as you're telling me to do right now. I will go, and I will run, and I will stop this thing. And he starts running, and he's old, people. And he starts running. And when he gets there, he throws water into this thing, this plague, and then he says this, I'm standing between the living and the dead. But the death stops with me. Death stops with me. I'm going to be that person. I want to be that person that says, you know what? I can see something is happening. Let me engage in this situation. Let God use me in this situation. Let's say I'm this, like, we need to go on a mission. Listen, church, sign up. Be the first person. Be excited about stuff like this. Be like an Aaron. Be like, you know what? Yes, I see it's happening, but you know what? It's going to stop. It's going to stop. And I'm going to make sure that I'm standing between the living and the dead. And listen, God is with me. I can do this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Last thing I want to share is I have an older brother. We never used to get along. Never. Because of alcohol and stuff. Then I continue to pray for him. And what looked like, you know what, this thing is never going to change, or nothing is ever going to happen. This year when I went home, I think it was a month ago, when I went home, I see my brother, and I see there's a difference in him. And my brother is one of those people that will never give you a hug. And he comes, and he gives me a hug. And I'm shocked. And then he begins to tell me what's been happening in his life. And he had one of those moments, you know, like Paul says, the road to Damascus, where the Lord just, hey, listen, time to wake up. And he had one of those moments. But church, it took someone to say, I'm going to stand in the gap. Just like Aaron, say, I'm standing in the gap for these people. Praying for that person. And I believe that we've got those family members that we want to be saved. Stand in the gap. Stand between life and death. Be like, you know what? I'm going to be that person. And I'm going to pray for my family. And now my brother is saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, church, I know this was a short word, but I just needed to share what the Lord was actually laying in my heart. I'm just going to call Uncle Dale to the front to do the communion for us. Thank you very much, church.